Mr. Hernandez, if you just give a second, we are going to get your parole officer on the phone.
Victim was begging for his life. You began to walk away with Mr.
Bobby Sosla asked for the gun in order to kill the victim so he'd not be able to testify against the group. Instead, you kept the gun and said, I already shot him 3 times, I'll do it. And then you shot the victim again, killing him. Now again, that's just a summary of the crime, because this board did not hear the case before, and we're not here to go through a long recounting of that case. According to your community corrections officer, you've had consistently clean UAs since 2013. We commend you for that. You've successfully completed your programming for anger management and substance abuse. You put off your restitution and have been working for Penske Trucking for over 5 years, is that correct?
Yes.
That's outstanding. And let me stop and say right now, regardless of how this board votes today, we do hope to see people succeed when they return to the community, and it sounds like that you've made a very good transition. How's your work with Penske going?
Great.
Fantastic. We have several letters of support from, I believe, is it family and friends?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And
one up,
but we do have a letter dated December 19, 2018, just weeks ago from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office opposing parole. Well, again, I won't get into their reasoning or politics, but they do routinely oppose parole. This is your sixth hearing before the board. So, Mr. Hernandez, can you tell us about your progress since you last appeared before this board on, and I hope this date is correct, November 17, 2015, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. How has your progress been since you last appeared before this board?
It's been great with family, great at work, been promoted, have a nice home, nice family support, grandkids that love me. I'm just becoming a family man, more of a grandfather now. So everything's been good.
Well, I appreciate that. You and I are about the same age, and I haven't started with grandchildren yet, but I do envy you, and I hope that's going well.
Yes.
Hope everyone's healthy. And did you marry after you were released from prison?
Right before I was released.
Oh, okay, so you were married when you were still inside the department.
I met her in 1998.
Fantastic. And again, not making it deeply personal, but how is the transition to married life, community life?
Well, on my side, it's great. She has speaking her half next. So, but it's pretty good. Very, very tight, husband and wife. Wherever we go together, you know, family events, store, grocery. It just, you know, like I said, I've been in Christ for 25 years and got out married, which, you know, my family, that was a different aspect of me, because now I tell them, I'm a married man now. I'm not like I was back then, you know, young, who have a daughter. I said, you know, I got a beautiful wife, and we're good. We're happy, very happy.
Well, that's very positive, really, really good input here. I'm just going to ask you this as a local. Did you go to high school, George?
Yes.
Phoenix, where did you go to school?
Dyersburg.
Oh, good for you. So you're west side?
Yeah, Dyersburg. Yeah.
So what sort of positive activity have you had outside of work? And again, I'm impressed with your work. But are you involved in faith community or any clubs or organizations?
I'm not really an outspoken person, and a lot of people, so they've been through a lot, and they want to speak out and be a mentor to others. I feel that it's probably easy for me to be a mentor to my family, my nephews, my grandkids, than anybody else. And showing them the example of what you've been through, and where you're at today, and what you've accomplished. And everybody thinks that when you're incarcerated, you just do nothing. I show them certificates, air conditioning, electrician, worked for Swift in there, 7 years, plus years. You know, learn a trade. which I'm a radio mechanic wise person at the time, I like construction, but it gave me another option to do something else when I got out. So I took that.
Well, okay. Again, I think that's very positive, and you're probably a lot more handy than a lot of people out there, so you have things to teach your family too.
Yes.
That's fantastic. I'm going to ask my fellow board members, do they have any questions for you? Yes, the Honorable Ms. Gilbert.
Thank you. I just looked at prison discipline history, and it's just remarkable for the amount of time we spend in there. It's only this much on the page.
Yes.
So that's very commendable. So, but I wanted to ask you just a curiosity question. In all that time that you were there, when you got out, what was the hardest thing to adjust to?
On the initial program, when I was released by Board Member Melvin Thomas, he said that for the first 3 months, don't do nothing. Stay home. Don't find a job yet. Don't pay restitution yet. POV yet. Until 3 months, until I adjust with the household. Learn how to use a washer and dryer. Simple things like that. The cell phone. And, you know, it was good. I have a wife there. My grandkids, my nephews, my stepkids were there too, so it was a good transition.
So that was good advice to you. I mean, I think it'd be overwhelming to get out. And
I think the main thing for anybody is your support group. If you don't have it, it's difficult because you get frustrated, you get stressed out, you can't find a job fast enough, or a job that pays well enough. You know? So I told my wife that I've always thought that when I got out of prison, you have to ask that you get paid at least $17 an hour, $18. I got very lucky, started at $20.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Pignol.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further questions? Any more questions from federal board members? I also want to say this, Mr. Hernandez, and I know I'm not really speaking to the party, but I'm always glad to hear that there are good organizations that will hire people for decent wages if they have skills coming out of the correction system. You know, that can't be the case and for every individual, because some people have issues, so to speak. But I think it's really great to hear that organizations like Penske, we've heard stories from Amazon, giving people an opportunity to reintegrate to the community, be productive. And I can't commend you on that level enough. I'm going to take advantage of this time to speak to your community corrections officer. Mr. Smith, is it?
Yeah, that's correct.
Can you state your full name for the record?
You still there?
Yes, Officer Smith, can you state your name for the record?
My name is Co-Officer Smith. First name is Josh.
Okay, Officer Smith, what can you share with the board today about Mr. Hernandez's development since he's been on home arrest and made his transition to regular parole?
Okay, so basically I got Mr. Hernandez on, I'm looking at my notes right here, I got him I got Mr. Hernandez back in August of last 2017, actually. So I've had him about a year and a half now.
Good.
Ever since I've had him, he's been one of those offenders that has never given me any issues. When I ask him to do something, he never argues with me. He's just one of those guys that, in the back of your mind, as a parole officer, you're thinking, why is this guy still on parole? But that's not up to me to decide that, or that's not something that I even really concern myself with, but I have thought of that. And me and Mr. Hernandez, we connect because he's a veteran. He served in the military, so did I, so there's a major rapport right there. And I noticed the discipline that he has. I noticed that, I mean, to me, in my eyes, he's not somebody that's an active criminal. I mean, I understand that he has a past, and I understand his charges and his conviction, and I understand that, but like I said, when I interact with him, it's actually, I look forward to seeing him or talking to him month to month.
Well, thank you, Officer Smith, and I can understand that. I think that when you have a job like community corrections officer, parole officer, I'm sure that there's enough negative stories to go around, and it, I think it would be uplifting to see people succeeding in the community. I'll ask Mr. Hernandez real quick, which branch of the military did you serve in?
Army.
Where did you serve in the Army, sir?
1990, a tanker.
Outstanding. That's great. What years were you in?
81 to 84.
Officer Smith, is there anything else that you wish to offer?
Yes. On October 30th, 2017, I just wanted to clarify this. I wrote it down in the progress report, but I wanted to clarify. I had an emergency surgery for myself, and it was kind of around the time that I took over his case, and I had told him that I would go out and see him in the field. I didn't explain to him exactly the fallback, because I work on a fallback date type procedure where if the offender doesn't hear from me, then they are to report, you know, on a certain day. Well, he thought, because, you know, we have so many different parole officers, he had thought that I was going to come out to him, and so he didn't know that I had gotten sick, and I was out for a brief time. So I'm not justifying the violation, I'm just saying that there was a reason why, and like I said, I have not had any other issues with him at all. And to me, that was just more of a, maybe a communication error on my part. So I didn't really make a big deal about it. Because he was doing so good, I didn't want to make things worse than they were, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does, and thank you for being flexible. I will also ask you, it's in the report here that he paid off his restitution, but can you confirm that he paid off his restitution?
Yes, he had, per the note,
yes.
He had paid the restitution before I got him.
Okay. Very good. Okay, well, Officer Smith, we don't ask for recommendations, but I think you've given us a pretty good thumbnail of how he has developed in these recent years. So I'm going to ask my fellow board members, do they have any questions for you?
Not the parole officer, I do.
Okay. Okay, Officer Smith, if you'll just remain on the phone, we have a few more questions here, and I will also give your wife an opportunity to speak if she wants. But go ahead, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Hernandez, I just, if you could just explain to me a little bit of the difference between back then when that happened, your mental state of mind back then and where you're at now, because it was a very violent act, so.
That's true, that's understandable. It's many years back, too, so it's like, I can say I was very young, drinking, under the influence of, I was hanging with older people. I mean, that's, you know, following someone's lead or whatever. But I believe my co-defendant is 10 years older than me. The other guys were like 8, 9. So I was probably the youngest within the group, pretty much following their lead. So that's.
So you have more of a leader.
Well, back then.
What's that?
I think it's actually about his phone vibrating.
Oh. Well, that was back then.
Well, that sounded like a duck quack.
Yeah, I was thinking that, but I'm pretty sure it's just
like he's on the pond or what? What's up?
Sorry, Mr. Hernandez.
That was back then. Now I can see the example now. So, lead forward, you know. Didn't handle kids back then, now grandkids, everybody else. You know, it's a lot different. sometimes you have to experience things that maybe you shouldn't have, but I've always said that if you experience things that's bad, and if you don't learn from it, there's something wrong. But if you learn from it, then it's better for you and everybody around you.
So what do you learn from it?
To be a better person, to be a productive family person, and influence my grandkids and everybody else. Because they can see the reflection of me. I mean, I got certificates, all kinds. And like I've always said, they always think you're in prison doing nothing. There's very few that does it. And very few that are seen that way, that they do something. You know. And at the house, I got certificates of, you know, electrician, you know, air conditioning, you know, when I worked for Swift in there, certificates for body work, mechanic and stuff like that, drivetrain, transmission, and so forth. There's a lot to do. You know, I've always said that there's never a time that you never stop learning. You know? And you setting the example shows them the right thing to do.
So what would an absolute discharge mean to you, sir?
Well, that I met and probably still continue to meet everything what they expect me to do. The board members, family members, you know, to be something. Like I said, my initial board hearing, they set the example out, criteria, things to me. I've done that. Even before I got out, I got denied the first time. There's things that they wanted me to meet. I met that. Then I was granted parole. Same concerns you brought up again. Continue doing this. Took care of that, you know. So I think anybody, no matter where you're at, this side of the fence, that side of the fence, there's always a continuance of learning something and being an example for somebody.
Okay.
And helping everybody out.
So I'm going to ask you that in maybe a different way, because what I'd like to hear from you is not satisfying what everybody else, what the board wanted you to do, what everybody else, what does it mean to you personally?
Okay, personally, it's always a challenge for me. To do better for myself. And I've always, and here I go again, and I always say, how can you help others if you can't help yourself? And I always tell my wife that, because we got sons that sometimes they forget to pay bills or whatever, and they want to help. I said, but how can you help somebody else when you can't provide for yourself? But I feel that me personally, becoming a man since then, helps out my wife, my family, and people.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any other questions? Okay, Mr. Anonymous, we're not quite at the end yet, but I will ask if did your wife want to speak to the board?
No.
Yes, if you could approach the podium and state your name.
Yes, Anonymous, and I'm
And is there anything you'd like to show the board today?
I just want to say that I raised my kids by myself. I was married to a very violent man, so I got divorced in 1990. I never leave my kids alone, only for work, and I raised my kids by myself, very strict and very straight. But when he came to my life, he talked to my kids, my grandkids. Actually, one of our grandkids, he's 5 years old, and he always said that he's going to be a soldier like his grandpa. So he's been a very good and support to my kids, because I have 2 sons, and I raised them real close to me. But now that he's home, they ask him for advice and things, and one of them is mechanic, so he asked him, you know, questions about his job and stuff. So it's been a very good support to me. And all my family loved him. My grandkids loved him. And he's a very good husband.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Hernandez, if you want to stay at the podium, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us. This is your hearing, so is there anything else that you wish for us to know or understand before we go into discussion and vote on this case?
Just hopefully that the things I've done and made shows the person I am to be. And thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hernandez. The board is going into discussion now. You can stay standing, you can sit down at the front desk where it's more comfortable for you. The board is now in discussion. For the board members, I've been very upbeat during this hearing. This is not to say that I'm being dismissive, that there was a violent crime, a victim. A family was traumatized by this event. I recognize much time has passed, and Mr. Hernandez has put much effort into his rehabilitation and redemption. And I'm reminded how important it is individually to always maintain a sense of fairness and compassion and look at the whole of the case. So I by no means am forgetting that there was a victim. And frankly, in 1987 I was a narcotics officer. I think about cases like this, and it would be easy to take it personally, but I learned over the years how important it is to consider the personal involvement of people and to look at each individual case. And I have to say, especially with the input of his parole officer, I say the input because he didn't recommend, that I find that Mr. Hernandez has been a model parolee, especially in terms of becoming productive, serving his family, meeting the requirements that were asked of him. I think it was well spelled out in the application form that he had paid his restitution. It sounds like he was working almost as within months of entering home arrest status, has had consistently clean UAs. I forgot to ask him about this, but I'm just going to take it as it was put in the record, that not only he's been clean, but he's been clean for a very, very, very long time, long beyond his home arrest and regular parole status. And I personally believe that Mr. Hernandez has earned his absolute discharge status. But I am only one voter, and that's where I'll begin the discussion. Yes, the Honourable Ms. Gilbert now.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. I agree. I liked one thing that Mr. Hernandez said today, and that was I liked his attitude toward learning. If you don't learn something every day, I mean, you never do stop learning. And I appreciated that. And I also wanted to, as you did, acknowledge that there was a victim in this crime. And since someone's, a family was traumatized. But from what I've heard from Mr. Hernandez, his intention is to go forward and to do what he can to pay, and I'm not saying paying back, but I'm saying paying it forward with other people and to mentor other people. And he said several times during his discussion here that he wanted to help others. And I appreciate that very much. So I agree with you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further input from my colleagues? Okay, I also wanted to add that Mr. Hernandez said something that I thought was pretty moving, because we're all individuals and we all serve in different ways, and that was that he said that he didn't choose to become some sort of public mentor, but he has chosen to be a mentor in his family, and I believe he's really doing that. And I think his wife's testimony was a good indication that he is doing that. So I'm going to make a motion, and that is, I want to make sure I check the right box. My motion is regarding Mr. Antonio Hernandez, ADC number 071361. Absolute discharge, and that is my simple motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, agreed upon by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, the Honorable Mr. Neal. There really is no other box to check, if I'm not mistaken, just that we granted it. It was unanimous. and it was absolute discharge as to release type granted. So, Mr. Amendments, you want to stand up? This board has unanimously, and do not like those tongue twisted moments, this board has unanimously decided to grant absolute discharge. This board has confidence in you, and we hope that you continue to succeed in the community. You're reminded that we've grabbed it today, but I'm sure there's some sort of final paperwork that needs to happen between you and the Office of Parole. So I trust your judgment, but please don't go out in the street.
Leave my other wife.
She'll take care of it.
Yeah, have a nice dinner or something. But I want to congratulate you, and I really don't think there's much else to say.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Thomas, Mr. Brickhouse, Neil, and thank you very much.
Thank you, and please stay safe, and we wish you a productive rest of your life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please have a good day.